Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King?
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
Good morning, I'm Pastor Joel, and this is Missionary Echoes. You know, my friend, not many people enjoy going to the doctor, but according to Reuters, back in 1994, one London accountant took it to an extreme. The 63-year-old man needed bladder surgery, but he couldn't overcome his fear of doctors and hospitals. So, he tried to perform the surgery upon himself. Tragically, though, he got an infection and died. The coroner said, unfortunately, his drastic remedy went wrong. A simple operation would have solved the problem. You know, sometimes we can be our own worst enemy, and taking things into our hands, doing what we think is best, we end up with disastrous results. In our self-reliance, we destroy ourselves. Today, we're going to talk about trusting in our works and the problems that it can create.
Of sturdy wood hewn from a special tree, planted by God, its age was 33. The night the stars shone so bright, the seeds sprouted new life. It grew for a special purpose, for on this tree Jesus would die. Without Jesus, this tree was ordinary. Without Jesus, the cross was just wood. Other crosses brought justice, but his bore the weight of the world. Without Jesus, the cross was just wood. Mark, a bumper sticker, a necklace of a special tree. Lost in translation, forgotten reality. that I am just a sinner without the blood he shed for me. And without Jesus, that cross was just a tree. Without Jesus, this tree was ordinary. Without Jesus, the cross was just wood. Other crosses brought justice, but his bore the weight of the world. And without Jesus, the cross was just wood. Other crosses brought justice, but his bore the weight of the world. And without Jesus, the cross was just wood. Without Jesus, the cross was just wood.
Oh, how true it is. Thank the Lord for his goodness and help in our lives. How about we look to the Lord in prayer this morning? Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your patience with us. Sometimes, Lord, in our stubbornness, we've really made a mess of things. But for your grace and mercy and your forgiveness, we give you praise this morning. Lord, if there's someone this morning that's dealing with circumstances that are far beyond their control, maybe they've even gotten themselves into these circumstances, but Lord, I pray that you would be with them. Help them to turn to you and find in you the help and the hope that they need right now. For the listener this morning, Lord, that's been going through ongoing pain, I pray that you would be with them. Give strength and help. In a physical touch, we ask it. Lord, for the soul that needs encouragement spiritually, I pray that you would be with them even now. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to hear your voice, to walk with you, and know your presence with us each day. We ask that you would bless in this program and all that's accomplished. May you be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope that you will be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
Timothy 6:6-12. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. That they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Our scripture for today comes from Exodus chapter 32. We're going to read the first 6 verses. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man which brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Now for a text this morning, I'm going to take from the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 7, verse 41. This is a reference to the golden calf that Aaron carved for them. Acts chapter 7, verse 41 says, And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Our text is taken from Stephen's sermon to the religious leaders after he'd been called in and accused of blasphemy. He gave an account of the Israelites' history, and he really didn't make it look very pretty for the Israelites, did he? We realize that though Stephen's life was on the line, he was faithful to declare the truth to these men who are wicked and evil. I want us to look at the thought that Stephen gave concerning Israel when he made the statement, And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Our subject for this morning is the works of their own hands. As we consider the Israelites, think of all the different things that the Israelites could have rejoiced in. They could have rejoiced first in their deliverance from Egyptian bondage, from being a group of slaves with no hope, to a nation of freed men. They could rejoice in the leadership of God. They are being led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, supernatural events that can only be explained by a God in heaven that's leading them. They could rejoice in the crossing of the Red Sea. Egypt is forever behind them. Pharaoh's been destroyed. No more trouble from the head taskmaster. They've watched as the water rushed in and drowned Pharaoh's army. They could rejoice in God providing water at Marah. Yes, the water is bitter, but God showed Moses how to make it sweet. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 25 says, There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. It was like all the way along God was providing for them, working for them. They could have praised God and rejoiced in the provision of meat and bread that God had given them, and the quails that God had caused to come in large flocks into the camp, or for the manna that came daily from the sky, another phenomenon that had never before happened or never since happened in a similar way. God fed a whole nation of people with daily bread that appeared almost like magic. Israel could have rejoiced for their victory against Amalek, their first battle as a nation. Remember, these are slaves. They're not used to war. They never trained. But God gave them victory. As long as Moses' hands were held up, God fought for them, and the Amalekites were destroyed before them. Israel could have rejoiced over the power of God being manifested at Mount Sinai. Back in Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 through 20, we see just a powerful display of God. There's thunder and lightning, there's smoke, there's earthquakes. The earth is literally trembling under the presence and the power of God. They hear a voice that sounds like trumpets and lightnings and thunder, and the people are just literally terrified of the power of God. In fact, listen to this account from Exodus 19. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mountain. It's kind of like they stand as far away as they can. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Can you imagine? The presence of God is there in such power, it's like the mountain is on fire. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Can you imagine being part of the camp of Israel and hearing God's voice and seeing the power of God in such a way? To hear God calling Moses up to the top of the mountain, see Moses walk into this presence of God, this burning furnace, smoke, fire, everything else that's going on. And now, God himself is speaking to Moses, one of their brethren. And while Israel waits, the promise of their fathers is being fulfilled, the long-awaited time when they would actually possess the promised land that God had promised to their forefather Abraham so very long ago. But instead of rejoicing in all that God had done, all that God was doing for them, instead, while they're stopped and while they're waiting, they make themselves a golden calf. As Exodus 32 verse 4 tells us, and he, or Aaron, received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. How could they even think such a thing that the earrings that they pulled out of their ears and other gold that they put together and melted together would actually be the God that had brought them out of the land of Egypt? And yes, for a time, there is great rejoicing in the camp. The people are dancing, they're singing, they're feasting and enjoying themselves. But remember the words of Moses when Joshua and Moses descend from the mountain in Exodus chapter 32, verses 17 and 18. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. What had happened in the camp of Israel is that they had traded the power and the majesty of God for a lifeless image that had no power, had no glory. It was a creation of their own hands. It was a dumb idol. It couldn't speak, it couldn't think, it couldn't do anything for them. In reality, Israel is in the saddest condition that they've been in since they've left Egypt. They've forgotten their God, and they're worshiping an idol. As we consider God's people today, think of the things that we as Christians could and should rejoice in. We can rejoice in deliverance from sin's bondage. So many people, even in our church, have been physically set free from the habits of sin that had once held them in slavery, from tobacco, from alcohol, from other drugs, from immoral lifestyles. For so many, there is carnal passions that drove them into slavery, drove them on and on without any real satisfaction in their life. From that, they've been delivered and set free. With that, there's spiritual freedom. Spiritually, they've been set free from the wages of sin. The debt having been paid by Jesus Christ at Calvary. By faith in Christ, our debt is transferred upon him, and we are set free. John chapter 8 and verse 36 gives us these words of Christ. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There's no more fear of judgment, but rather looking forward to the day of reckoning. For the believer, there can also be the freedom from the nature of sin. The absence of the carnal passions that were born within the heart can be free, delivered from the soul. No more struggling within with the evil desires. You can have and live in victory over sin. There's a hymn we like to sing. It's entitled Glorious Freedom. And it goes something like this. Freedom from all the carnal affections, freedom from envy, hatred, and strife, freedom from vain and worldly ambition, freedom from all that sadden my life, freedom from pride and all sinful follies, freedom from love and glitter of gold, freedom from evil, temper, and anger, glorious freedom, rapture untold, freedom from fear with all of its torments, freedom from care with all of its pain, freedom in Christ, my blessed Redeemer, he who has rent my fetters in twain. And the chorus says, glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, no more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever, he shall be mine. The words of that song should be a reality for the believer in Christ, living a life after the Spirit of God, in contrast to the old life, the old sinful life in the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit should be seen in our daily life because of its presence in our soul. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." My friend, as a Christian, you can and should live at peace with your Heavenly Father. As another songwriter wrote, "Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above." What a way of life. What rejoicing there is in God's full plan of salvation when experienced in our own hearts and life. But sadly today, many are making themselves a golden calf, a self-made religion. You control your own destiny. You call the shots. It's kind of like Satan, who convinced Eve so many years ago in the garden that if she would eat the forbidden fruit, that she shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This has been the theme of Satan to all mankind, that you can have your religion and be your own God. Why be bound with a strict religion like the Bible teaches? And so, man, in their selfishness, in their self-reliance, have watered down and taken away from God's holy word and make their own religion, called their own shots. They want to be able to control their own destiny. You can find a lot of religions that will accommodate any lifestyle you want to live. But it takes the power of God to make a person, to change a person, to free from sin, and to make you what you ought to be. This isn't always out there, but often we find it to be so right in the church. Instead of deliverance, we're simply making adjustments in life to kind of fit in with the rules and what's expected of people in church. Sometimes people regulate their desires and try to adapt and adopt different things into their life. But sadly, there's no real peace, there's no real joy in that, because they don't have enough of God to satisfy, because they're holding on to the world and self. They're trying to dictate their religion according to their own desires and their own demands. In doing so, they don't really have enough of the world to enjoy because they're trying to hold on to God and the church. They're being torn apart because these two things are going drastically different directions. Just as Israel made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands, my friend, I'd like to ask you this morning, what are you rejoicing in today? What thrills your heart? What are you seeking after? And what do you find meaning in this life? For the Israelites, there was only one solution, and it was rough. And he, or Moses, took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it or threw it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. We could say it like this. Sometimes in this life, when God confronts us with our pride and what we've done and our stubbornness and our own self-sufficiency, we have to swallow our pride and humble ourselves in the sight of God, admit that we're sinners, and be able to, through His grace and mercy, gain the victory. Israel, when they made the golden calf, they were about to trade Canaan land, the promised land, all that their ancestors had lived for and hoped for something that they had just created with their own hands. And my friend, are you today trading in the Canaan land experience or that peace with God, what God has for you, for something cheap, for something that you've created that you don't want to let go? Something that gives you pleasure for now, but in eternity will bring you such great sorrow. Let's not be just rejoicing in the work of our own hands and what we've done, but let's keep our eyes on Jesus and the possibilities of what He has for us and the path ahead. We need to be trusting in God alone, rejoicing in His provision, in the plans and the purposes that He has for us, and in Him find sufficient for our need, exactly what we need. I trust that if there's any division in your heart, any warring between God's will and your will, that throughout this week, God will be faithful to speak to you, to reveal it to you, and you'll be faithful to surrender it to Him. Our time for this program is quickly coming to a close, but if you have a question about how to be saved or a spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by the church today during regular service times at 10:30 this morning or at 6 o'clock tonight, or you can always call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690, or you can send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. It would be our delight to help you in any way that we can. We're a church of just ordinary people who've found God to be the answer, the hope and help of all who seek Him. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a blessed week.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh, I would be. Without Him, I would be dying. Without Him, I'd be enslaved. Without Him, life would be worthless. But with Jesus, thank God I am saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Oh Jesus, my Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. Without Him, how lost. I would be